بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، respected elders and dear brothers, after completing Surah At-Tawbah, last night we then commenced with Surah Yunus, which of course is named after Nabi Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. And generally we find not many details are known about the life of Nabi Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. He is mentioned in a few different places in the Quran Kareem, but we do know of at least two times where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had praised Nabi Yunus, or at least expressed his affinity and his closeness with him. One was the incident of Ta'if. As we know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after being rejected by the Quraysh, thereafter went to Ta'if, hoping that he will take this as a place of refuge. The people may welcome him, they may accept him, accept his message. And we then know the reaction that he received, how they persecuted him, insulted him, physically assaulted him. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then took refuge in a garden, and there was a slave by the name of Addas, who then took pity on Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He of course didn't know who he was, but he sees this man who has been beaten and bruised, and therefore he brought a bunch of grapes and he offered it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And before Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam could begin eating, he then said, Bismillah. When Addas heard this, he was surprised, and he then said that, I haven't heard any other person in these regions or in these areas saying a statement like this. And thereafter he then told Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that I come from Ninwa, and this was the town of Yunus, or rather Nabi alayhi salam then said to him that that was the town of Yunus bin Matta, who was my brother, and he was a Nabi of Allah, and I am also a Nabi of Allah. So this was where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam called Nabi Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam his brother. And the second occasion that appears in the books of hadith, on one occasion Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Sahaba radiallahu anhum that, listen, la yambaghi li ahadin, it is not appropriate for any person to say, an yaqul ana khayrun min Yunus ibn Matta, to say that I, the Nabi of Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is better than Nabi Yunus. No person should make this statement. Now of course we know Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the greatest of all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. There is absolutely no doubt about this. This is mentioned in the Quran. This was something that all the Anbiya also acknowledged and knew. But what is meant here, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is teaching Sahaba that by you comparing in this manner and saying that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is better than Yunus, then you are creating the impression as though Nabi Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam is not so great, or is not, or he is lowly, wal'iyadu billah. So therefore you can praise me, but it's best that you avoid these type of comparisons. So that was Surah Yunus, where mention was made of Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. And thereafter, on the last page of the 11th juz, we commenced with Surah Hud. And here, the first verse of the 12th juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses something which generally is at the forefront of the mind of each person, wealthy or poor. Every person's greatest worry, concern, fikr that he has during his life in this world is with regard to his sustenance. Every person is concerned, worried. Even the wealthy person will tell you how difficult times are and how the rising cost of items is affecting him, making his life difficult. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very, very clearly removes this worry off our shoulders. And Allah says, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ, that there is no creature or there is no creation that walks on the surface of the earth. دَابَّة refers to كُلُّ مَا يَدُبُّ عَلَى وَجْهِ الْأَرْضِ, any creature, any living thing that moves on the surface of the earth, be it an animal, be it an insect, be it insan, human being. There is no creature in the earth or that walks on the earth, illa ala allahi rizquha, except that the obligation of its sustenance has been taken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The obligation of its sustenance, of its rozi, is upon the shoulders of Allah. وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمُسْتَوْدَعَهَا, and Allah knows its temporary condition and its permanent condition. What is meant? Allah knows the condition that it is currently going through, the needs, the desires, the wants of every individual, and Allah knows the future needs of every person. In other words, Allah knows what you require and what you will require. So therefore, Allah is most qualified to take it upon himself to provide for you. And here ulama have explained that if we look through the the entire Quran, we will find more than 70 places that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises that He will take care of our rozi, our sustenance. More than 70 verses in the Quran, نحن لا نسألك رزقا نحن نرزقك نحن نرزقكم وإياهم نحن نرزقكم وإياهم. Then we have this verse, إن الله هو الرزاق. And all of these verses, Allah promises that, listen, this is my duty, my obligation. This is not something that I have made for you to worry about or to be concerned about. And just one verse in the Quran, as opposed to these 70 verses, just one verse where Shaitan promises a person that he will afflict us with poverty. الشَّيْطَانُ يَعِدُكُمُ الْفَقْرَ. Shaitan promises you poverty. And yet our own iman, our own yaqeen is such that that one promise of Shaitan we believe in so strongly, as opposed to the 70 promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where He says, I will take it upon myself. And that is why we find the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ تَتَوَكَّلُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ حَقَّ تَوَكُّلِهِ. That if you had to place your trust upon Allah, as you ought to do so. Now of course this is the difficult part, for us to have tawakkul as we are supposed to. It's very easy to have tawakkul when I have money in my bank account, or where I have some reserve kept behind, or things are going well for me this month, I have already met all my bills, and I have a surplus. But when things are tight, when I don't know where I'm going to get to pay my next bill from, then for us to have tawakkul and trust upon Allah. So this hadith says, if a person has tawakkul, as he ought to have tawakkul, لَرَزَقَكُمْ كَمَا يَرْزُقُ الطَّيْرِ. Allah will provide for you as He provides for the birds. تَغْدُو خِمَاصَ وَتَرُوحُ بِطَانَ. That they leave their nest in the morning on an empty stomach. They don't have anything stored, anything kept, no degree, no shop, no business, no source of income. But every bird will then return to its nest in the evening, having been satiated with his stomach full. Allah has taken care of the needs of these insects, these creatures. Allah will take care of our needs in the very same way. Ulama explained that when it comes to our rozi, our sustenance, this is baqadre muqaddar. This is something that has already been decreed. Not one grain of rice, not one drop of water, a person will consume more than what was already ordained for him. But our iman, our a'mal, this is baqadre mashakkat, in accordance to the effort and the sacrifice that we will make. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes this promise and takes this obligation upon Himself. And thereafter in Surah Hud, various different anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam, in fact the incidents of 7 different anbiya have been mentioned in great detail, how they invited their people to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the different reactions they then received from their people. And particularly the incident of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam has been mentioned, where these malaika had come in human form to Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, who was living at the same time as Nabi Lut but in different areas. And the entire incident, how they greeted Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he brought some food for them to partake of, etc. And finally they then went to the town of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, and different narrations mention that these angels appeared in the form of very handsome young men with bright and shining faces. And we know that the people of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam were involved in the very filthy act of homosexuality. وَمِن قَبْلُ كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ سَيِّئَاتِ. Allah says that for a long time they were guilty of perpetrating a very evil act. So when they heard of the arrival of these guests, they did not know that they were angels. And according to some narrations, it was the wife of Nabi Lut, who was also an evil woman, who then went and informed his people that, listen, my husband is hosting some men in this town, some guests who are very handsome in appearance. And she then informed these people about this. So they came to the house of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, and they stated their intention that we want to fulfill our desires with these people. Lut alayhi salatu wasalam says to them, listen, هَاُولَاءِ بَنَاتِي هُنَّ أَطْهَرُ لَكُمْ. That I will offer my daughters to you in marriage. And here Mufassirin say either he was referring to his very own daughters, or he was referring to the females amongst his tribe, because every Nabi is like a father to his people. So these are my daughters, they are more pure for you, so why don't you marry them and fulfill your desires in the way Allah has ordained for you. فَاتَّقُ اللَّهِ. Be conscious of Allah. وَلَا تُخْزُونِ فِي ضَيْفِي. Don't disgrace me with regard to my guests. And then he poses the question, أَلَيْسَ مِنْكُمْ رَجُلُ الرَّشِيدِ. Is there not even one person from amongst you who is rightly guided, who can think correctly and make the correct decision. But they then reply to him, لَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ مَا لَنَا فِي بَنَاتِكَ مِنْ حَقٍ, that you already know, we have absolutely no desire for your daughters or for the females. وَإِنَّكَ لَتَعْلَمُ مَا نُرِيدٍ, you know very well what we intend. Lut alayhi salam realizes that, listen, these people are now on the path to destruction. So he then says, لَوْ أَنَّ لِي بِكُمْ قُوَّةً أَوْ آوِي إِلَىٰ رُكْنٍ شَدِيدٍ, if only I had the physical strength to stop you, or if only I had some assistance or support that I could call on to prevent you. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam later would tell Sahaba radiallahu anhum, رحم الله أخي لوط, may Allah have mercy on Lut, because he did have some support and assistance, that was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But nevertheless, we know what he meant, is that I don't have the physical strength to stop you right now. And the entire incident then continues. These people didn't listen, and they insisted on fulfilling their desires in this way. Lut alayhi salam had continued to warn them and remind them and tell them, فَلَمَّا جَاءَ أَمْرُنَا, Allah's punishment then comes, جَعَلْنَا عَالِيَهَا سَافِلَهَا, Allah says, we turn that entire city upside down. We put the roof at the bottom and the foundation was at the top, upside down. And here Mufassirin explained what was the reason for this. They turned the law of Allah upside down. Where Allah had asked them to fulfill their desires, they wanted to do it in the opposite way. So Allah capsized this entire nation and they were completely and totally destroyed. And we know, my dear brothers, currently the challenges and what is happening in the world, in the West and in the media also, what a push is being made to normalize these type of actions. One is that we cannot control the narrative, we cannot control what happens outside of our family and our close circles, but very, very important for us, especially those of us who have children, grandchildren, that we should not allow our young ones to become desensitized. On one hand, we cannot control what is going to be out there, and at times we can't even control what they will be exposed to. Of course, we make our best efforts to try and protect them and shield them, but we should never ever allow them to become desensitized. The first attack or the first effort will be to say that, fine, you don't get involved in this, and we respect your religion, but you respect us, and you also treat us as normal, and don't have any problem with what we do. The question we ask is that if a person has a tendency or a desire to take the life of someone else, to murder, to shed blood, will we treat him as normal? Will we say, I respect you, I respect your desire, and I won't interfere with you, you don't interfere with me? That person will be locked up, he'll be chained up, because he is causing harm, he's a menace to society. In the very same way, we understand this is a sickness. Yes, if we have people, and unfortunately, as much as we want to sweep it under the carpet, these things are prevalent even in our own communities. Yes, we may have, or we know of people who are suffering with this. We do not write them off. We do not look down upon them. But we treat them as we would treat any person who is suffering from any spiritual malady. We try and get this person the help that he deserves. But we do not allow ourselves to become desensitized to this very vile and filthy act. So this was the incident of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives some details about the akhirah and the two groups in the hereafter. فَمِنْهُمْ شَقِيٌّ وَسَعِيدٌ. They will be those who are wretched and those who are fortunate. The wretched ones we know will go into the fire of Jahannam. لَهُمْ فِيهَا زَفِيرٌ وَشَهِيقٌ. And they, here Allah describes the sound that these people will make. زَفِيرٌ وَشَهِيقٌ. Mufassirin have difference of opinion regarding this. Some say zafir refers to the beginning sound that a camel makes or a donkey makes. A very ugly sound, a sound that is not very nice to the ear or soft to the ear. And shahiq refers to the ending sound that a donkey makes. Others say zafir refers to the sound that emits when a person is under physical pain. And shahiq, when a person is under emotional anguish, depression, despondency, the sigh that he lets out. This is the sound that the people of Jahannam will make. Allah protect us. And the people of who are sa'id, who are fortunate, fafil jannah, they will be in the gardens of Jannah. Khalidina fiha, they will remain in there forever. Ata and ghayra majzud, Allah says, such a bounty which will never come to an end. So these are the two groups. And finally, one more verse and we'll terminate. On one occasion, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He said to him, O Nabi of Allah, laqad shibta, that it seems as though you have turned grey. Your hair is greying. And here just one point for us to note. Anas radiallahu anhu, who was the attendant of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam for many years, he says on the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I counted 14 gray hair, 14 strands of gray hair on the head and beard combined of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Others have given different numbers, but not more than 20 strands of white hair on Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Yet still, we find this was noticed and picked up by the Sahaba. From this we can understand their attention to detail and how they paid close attention to every small detail in the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That just a few strands and he noticed, O Nabi of Allah, you have turned grey, what has happened? Now ask ourselves, as we would say to one another, we meet a friend or relative, what is happening? Why are you getting old? I see a lot of white hair on you. And what answer do we normally give? That my wife is troubling, or my children, wait till your children grow old and you'll see the challenges become greater, or work is difficult, things are tight. And these are the type of answers that generally we would give. This is why I'm getting old. This is why you see my hair turning grey. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Shayyabatni Hud. Surah Hud has turned me white. What is meant, Surah Hud has turned me white? Referring to a particular verse, Fastaqim kama umirta. Allah commands Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, be steadfast as you have been commanded to be. Where Allah is now telling him that remain absolutely firm. You will have these challenges. People will deny you, belie you, hurt you, insult you, say things about you. You remain firm. Do not move left. Do not move right. Continue to fulfill the commands of Allah. وَلَا تَطْغَوْا, and do not transgress. The fear and the worry that will I be able to fulfill this command of Allah, this has turned me grey. In another hadith, Nabi alayhi salam mentioned a few other surahs. Suratul Waqi'a included. Those surahs where mention is made of the akhirat, of the hereafter, this has turned me grey. Understand, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was also a husband. We have one wife to contend with. He had multiple wives to contend with. He was also a father. He was also a leader. He was also an imam. He was also the Nabi of the time. He had all of these worries and concerns. Yet, it was his worry and concern of the akhirat, of the hereafter, that caused him to become so stressed that his hair began to turn grey. For us to use this as a yardstick, as a compass in my life, what is causing me worry? What keeps me awake at night when I am restless, when I get a headache, when I'm tired? What is it that's causing me stress? Is it my fikr, my concern, my worry for dunya, or my worry and my concern for the akhirat? Allah give us understanding and tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.